Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. You know, we always try to bring you the most interesting and compelling cases, and today we're going to be taking a close look at some footage that's been making the rounds. It's called the Rubber Duck videos, and it's infrared footage, so it's pretty grainy, but it was apparently captured by someone at the Department of Homeland Security using a FLIR camera system on an RC-26B aircraft. That's a plane used by the Arizona Air National Guard, and these videos, along with an analysis by the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies at its SCU, really makes you think about how important rigorous scientific examination is when dealing with the UAP phenomena.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. These videos are fascinating because they show us something truly unusual. We're not talking about blurry lights in the distance here. You know, these are clear images of an object that's moving in ways that just don't seem to make sense with our current understanding of physics. And what makes the SCU analysis so important is that they're approaching it with the same kind of rigor you'd see in any, you know, scientific discipline.
Yeah. All right. They don't just jump to conclusions. They start with something called the null hypothesis.
Exactly. The null hypothesis is it's like the starting point in a scientific investigation. You assume there's a normal, everyday explanation for what you're seeing. So in this case, the SCU set out to prove that the object in the videos could be something conventional. A bird, a drone, a weather balloon, or some kind of atmospheric effect, something normal.
So they're basically trying to debunk the UAP theory before even considering it might be true.
Exactly. That's how science works. You try to disprove your own hypothesis.
Right.
And to do that, they really dug into the details of these videos, breaking down the object's behavior into seven key points. And these points really suggest that something truly strange is happening.
Okay, so let's get into those 7 points then. The first one is the lack of any visible aerodynamic structures, right? No wings, no tail, nothing that would typically help something fly.
Right. Think about how planes stay aloft. They need wings and control surfaces to generate lift and to maneuver. This object has none of that, but it's clearly moving in a controlled way. So that's a major red flag right away.
So no wings and no explanation for how it's flying. What's the next point that makes this thing so unusual?
The second point is the lack of any visible propulsion system. So there's no exhaust plume, no rotating propellers, no signs of any kind of engine or thrust being used. And we need to remember, we're talking about infrared footage. So even if it were some kind of super quiet next generation engine, you'd expect to see a heat signature, but there's nothing.
It's literally just moving.
Yeah, moving and changing direction, even seeming to move against the wind at times, all without any visible means of propulsion.
Wow.
And that ties into the third point, which is that the object consistently appears colder than its surroundings in the infrared.
Okay, so help me understand this. How can something be colder than the air around it, especially when it seems to be moving so fast?
Well, that's one of the biggest mysteries here. Even if the object were metallic and reflecting the colder temperature of the sky above it, it wouldn't appear this consistently cold in the infrared. It's as if it's absorbing heat from its surroundings, which is not something we see with any known aircraft or natural phenomenon.
So we've got an object with no visible means of lift or propulsion. It appears colder than the air around it. What other weirdness did they find?
Well, the fourth point focuses on the object's shape and how it moves. It appears to have a fixed structure, meaning it's not changing shape like a balloon might, and it exhibits this aperiodic rotation. So imagine a spinning top that wobbles slightly as it spins. That's what we're seeing here. And it suggests a level of control that goes beyond what you'd expect from a simple windblown object.
So it's not just drifting along, it's actively maneuvering.
It appears that way, yes.
Right.
And then we get to the fifth point, which is where things get really interesting. The object seems to have a two-part structure, almost like two objects tethered together by an invisible line. This is particularly clear in some frames where you see the object moving in a way that suggests two distinct parts connected by something we can't see.
Okay, a two-part structure with no visible connection.
Huh?
I'm starting to see why this has been dubbed the rubber duck video.
Right. It's a very peculiar shape and behavior. And then we add to that the sixth point, which is the lack of any visible lights or illumination. Most aircraft have navigation lights or some kind of lighting system. But this object is completely dark.
So it's stealthy, too. This thing is like the ultimate spy gadget.
Well, we don't know if it's intentional stealth or just a byproduct of its unusual technology, but it certainly makes it harder to track and identify. And finally, the seventh point deals with the object's movement in relation to the aircraft tracking it. The analysis suggests that the object is moving against the wind at times, which again challenges the idea of a simple wind-blown object.
So they've laid out these 7 points, each one pointing away from a conventional explanation. But they didn't just stop there, right? They actually dug into the data to try and debunk those points to see if they could find a way to explain this thing within our current understanding of physics.
Exactly. They took a very thorough and scientific approach, looking at things like wind speed data from the time and location of the incident. They analyzed the capabilities of the infrared camera and even considered potential errors in the aircraft's readings. It's a level of rigor that we rarely see in UAP investigations, and it's what makes their conclusions so compelling.
Yeah, and that's the key here, the rigor of their process. They really tried to find a conventional explanation, you know, going through possible scenarios one by one. For instance, they looked at whether the object could be something like a balloon or a piece of fabric caught in the wind.
Okay, so how did they rule out those possibilities? Well, remember how the object appeared colder than its surroundings? That right there throws a wrench into a lot of those simple explanations. If it were a balloon, for example, you'd expect to see it warming up in the sun, especially in a desert environment.
Right. A balloon would absorb heat and show up as warmer than the background in the infrared, not colder. What about the wind? Could it have been strong enough to make something move that fast and erratically?
That's where the wind speed data comes in. The SCU used weather records from the time and location of the incident and compared it to the object's movement. Even taking into account potential errors, the object was moving faster than the wind at every possible altitude. It's like it was ignoring the wind altogether, which is pretty baffling.
So we've got the temperature issue, the wind data. What other evidence did they find that really pointed towards something truly unusual?
Well, the object's rigidity and rotation also presented a strong challenge to conventional explanations. Remember that aperiodic rotation we talked about? Well,
yeah.
If this were something like a balloon or a piece of fabric, you'd expect it to be more floppy. You know, wind would push and pull it, changing its shape.
Right. It wouldn't have that fixed solid structure they observed.
Exactly. And the way it rotates with that slight wobble suggests some kind of internal mechanism controlling its movement, rather than just being at the mercy of the wind.
It really does seem like they systematically eliminated every plausible explanation. But I'm guessing they explored some more out there possibilities too, right? Just to cover all their bases.
Absolutely. They consider things like unknown atmospheric phenomena, maybe some kind of plasma effect we haven't encountered before. And they also looked into the possibility of advanced drone technology, something so sophisticated that it doesn't produce any detectable heat signature.
Okay, now we're getting into some pretty interesting territory. Mm-hmm. What if this is some kind of top secret government project? A drone so advanced we can barely comprehend it.
That's a possibility they definitely acknowledge. The idea that someone somewhere has developed technology that's significantly ahead of what we publicly know. But even if that were the case, it would be a huge leap forward, a technological game changer.
So whether it's a natural phenomenon or advanced technology, the implications are pretty mind-blowing. But before we get too carried away with speculation, I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, the SCU's attention to detail and potential errors in their analysis. Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. One thing they factored in was the camera angle.
Okay.
Because the camera wasn't perfectly aligned with the object's movement, there's a margin of error when calculating the object's speed. They also considered potential errors in the aircraft's instruments, you know, things like its altitude and ground speed readings.
So they're acknowledging that their measurements might not be 100% perfect, but they're still accounting for those uncertainties.
Exactly. They're being transparent about the limitations of the data, which actually strengthens their conclusions. Because even after factoring in those uncertainties, the object's behavior remains anomalous.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the science and the methodology, but I have to admit I'm dying to know more about the object itself. The report mentioned some pretty intriguing specifics about its flight path and where this all took place.
Yes, there are some fascinating details there that add another layer of intrigue to this whole case. For instance, the report includes the pilot's account of what he saw that day.
Hold on. They have firsthand testimony from the pilot. That's incredible. What did he say about the object?
He describes the object as looking like a circle towing a smaller circle underneath it, which is consistent with the two-part structure seen in the footage. He also confirms that there were no visible lights or exhaust plumes coming from the object, and he specifically mentions that it wasn't giving off any heat.
So the pilot's observations line up perfectly with the SCU's analysis. But where exactly was this object flying? Could the location itself be significant?
That's a good question. The report pinpoints the area as the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge in Arizona, not too far from the U.S.-Mexico border.
Oh, wildlife refuge near the border. That's definitely adding to the mystery. Was there anything else about the location that stood out?
Well, it was flying over a valley near the San Luis Mountains, which were fairly high, around 3,750 feet. Interestingly, the object consistently appeared to be higher than the mountains, which again supports the idea that it wasn't simply being blown around by ground-level winds.
So we've got this strange object flying over a sensitive area near the border and in a wildlife refuge. And then there's its flight path. The report mentions he was doing something pretty unusual.
Yes. The object wasn't just randomly drifting around. It was following a very specific and deliberate path, a counterclockwise circular pattern.
A counterclockwise circle. Almost like he was searching for something. Or observing a specific area.
It's hard not to speculate. And that's where the scientific analysis ends and the bigger questions begin. We've established that this isn't a balloon or a drone we can easily explain. So what is it? And why was it behaving the way it did?
Okay, let's pause here for a moment. We've covered a lot of ground from the scientific analysis to the pilot's account and the object's strange behavior. But we've only scratched the surface of what this all means.
You're right. The rubber duck videos open up a Pandora's box of questions about our understanding of physics, the possibility of advanced technology we haven't even dreamed of, and even the potential for something beyond human comprehension.
So before we move on to the final part of this deep dive, where we'll explore those bigger questions and their implications, I want to leave our listeners with something to ponder. If this object isn't something we can easily explain, what could it be? And what does its presence tell us about our place in the universe? Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been looking into these rubber duck videos, and I have to say, this whole thing really has me thinking about the bigger picture here.
You know? Yeah, it's hard not to, isn't it? When you see something that just challenges all of our basic assumptions about what's possible, you know, it really makes you question everything.
Exactly. And one of the things that's really been on my mind is the national security aspect of all this. I mean, if we're really dealing with technology that's way beyond anything we've ever seen before, shouldn't we be concerned about this?
Yeah, it's a valid concern for sure. I mean, if you imagine technology that can just, you know, outrun our aircraft and operate silently and even appear colder than its surroundings in infrared, I mean, that raises some really serious questions about, you know, our ability to even detect these things, let alone, you know, defend ourselves against them.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, but it's becoming increasingly clear that this is a real issue that we really need to take seriously.
And it is being taken much more seriously now than ever before. There's a growing recognition within the intelligence and defense communities that UAPs represent a potential threat and they can't be ignored anymore.
So what are they doing about it then? Are we investing in new radar systems or developing new weapons? What steps are actually being taken to address this potential threat?
Well, it's a multifaceted approach, really. There's a big push for more transparency and data sharing, both within government agencies and with the public as well. The idea is that by breaking down the secrecy that has surrounded this topic for decades, we can better understand the phenomenon and develop the appropriate responses.
Okay, that makes sense. More eyes on the problem, you know, can only lead to better solutions, right? But what about the actual defense aspect? Are we developing any countermeasures to deal with these UAPs if they do turn out to be, you know, hostile?
Well, that's where things get a bit more speculative. It's really difficult to develop countermeasures when you don't even fully understand the technology you're dealing with in the first place. It's like trying to build a shield against a weapon you've never even seen before.
You don't even know what you're defending against. Mm-hmm. But surely there must be some ideas being tossed around, right? Some contingency plans.
Yeah.
You know, in case things were to escalate. I'm sure there are, but a lot of the focus right now is on improving our detection and tracking capabilities. Mm-hmm. If we can, you know, better understand how these UAPs operate and what their limitations are, then we can start to develop more effective strategies for dealing with them.
So it's a race against time in a sense. We need to learn as much as we can as quickly as we can while also being prepared for the unknown, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about defense either. There are ethical considerations here that we can't ignore.
Oh, absolutely. If we're talking about potential contact with another intelligence, we need to be very careful about how we approach it. We don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past where encounters with other cultures often led to exploitation and conflict.
Right. We need to be mindful of the potential impact on our own society as well. Mm-hmm. Confirmation of extraterrestrial life would be a paradigm shift for humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's something we need to be prepared for. I can already imagine the chaos and the fear and the excitement. It would be a global event unlike anything we've ever experienced.
Yeah. It would challenge our beliefs and our religions, our very understanding of who we are and where we fit in the universe. But it could also be an incredible opportunity.
An opportunity for what?
An opportunity to learn and to grow, to expand our horizons beyond anything we've ever imagined. Contact with another intelligence could revolutionize our science, our technology, our art, everything, really.
It's a lot to wrap our heads around.
Yeah.
And it all stems from these grainy videos of a strange object doing these impossible things over the Arizona desert.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how something that seems so small can open up such huge and profound questions.
It really is. So as we wrap with this deep dive into the rubber duck videos, mm-hmm. I want to come back to that question we posed earlier. If extraterrestrial intelligence has been observing us, what have they learned about us?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's impossible to know for sure, but if I were an alien anthropologist, you know, studying humanity, I might observe that we're a species with a lot of potential, capable of great things, but also prone to conflict and self-destruction.
Yeah, we're a complex bunch, that's for sure. Full of contradictions and paradoxes. But maybe that's what makes us interesting. Maybe that's what makes us worth studying.
Perhaps. And perhaps that's the lesson we can take away from all this. The UAP phenomenon, whether it turns out to be extraterrestrial or not, is a reminder that there's still so much we don't know. So much we have yet to discover.
It's a humbling thought, but also an exciting one at the same time. The universe is full of mysteries, and we're only just beginning to scratch the surface.
Exactly. So to our listeners out there, keep asking questions and keep exploring and keep your minds open. The truth, whatever it may be, is out there waiting to be found.
Well said. This has been an incredible deep dive, and I want to thank you for guiding us through it. Until next time, keep looking up.